Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host. Today is Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. We have a live show from you coming from FEMA region number 6. And sincerely, sincerely thank you for all listening to Tando Radio Show. Today is Friday. It is February the 10th, 2017. And we are looking forward to our live show for you all today. And you know, all of our live shows are very, very important, and we want to continue to have our live shows. So everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, and you can very easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and there on the far right-hand margin, you will see the donation icon that's there. It's in green and white, and you see the holding hands that are there. All you have to do is just put your cursor and click on that icon, and it will bring you into how you can give some of your financial energy so that this network can continue to remain relevant and continue to do what it's been doing and what you appreciate. It's very, very essential and important that you do give some of your financial energy, just like all other things. Anything needs energy in order to maintain and have a existence and to continue to do what it's been doing. And Black Talk Radio Network needs your overall financial support, because it does not get mainstream commercial sponsors, and it's really dependent upon you and your donations to keep this network going. So all of your donations, however large or small they are greatly, greatly appreciated. And you can do that by going to Black Talk Radio Network and just hitting the icon for the donation. Please do that so that this network can continue to do what it's been doing and further and grow even more. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media outlet known as BTR Community. You can find it on the website, or you can go to BTRcommunity.com. And this social media network has put it together for you so that you can engage in some of your social media activities without having the overall being affected by the adversities of mainstream social media, where your data mined, where your information is sold to bidders. On BTR Community, none of your information is sold to any bidder at all. And also, many of us don't realize how we've been adversely affected by our overall activities and our overall social media activities inside of the mainstream ones, such as Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, which I call Fedbook. It's very, very important that you get into a social media outlet that you don't have to really worry about that. And that's what BTR Community really does. And it's only $24 a year, and then you could promote yourself, your business, your organization, some social gathering or an event that you think is very, very important and relevant. You can do that through BTR Community. So go ahead and join BTR Community. It's the only place that I post and engage in my social media activities, and this is where you'll find what's in the news and the articles that we post and we follow there. Some great, great stuff that comes out of BTR community. Also, if you are interested in acquiring some real money and saving like a king or a queen or saving as a lady and a gentleman, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com, Prosperity Mint. And there you can see what's in inventory. And before you actually start to purchase, make sure you email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. That's wolf, W-O-L-F, the number 6, P-A-C-K, the number 1, at gmail.com. Also, during March the 25th of 2017, there will be a family wealth seminar for individuals and for families that's going to be put on by the Volt Group, and this is going to happen in Dallas, Texas, on March the 25th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and the fee for that overall economic symposium is going to be $100 per couple and $125 for single tickets. So this is something I believe that you definitely want to be engaged in. There's a lot of great information that will be given there. I know some of the people that are on the actually some of the speakers. I will be one of the speakers, one of the presenters. So definitely, this is March the 25th of 2017 in Dallas. It's going to be at the DoubleTree Dallas Hotel. So we're going to be having some of the Volt Group is going to be sending some of their representatives to talk about what they're going to be doing and what it's all about. Of course, I will be there speaking about the importance of the precious metals and giving a presentation as to why you should have it, how you should use it, and how to leverage it in the future, and why, and just some of the things that are going on in the world that are very, very important. So that's critical for you to engage in. So let's jump into what's in the news, and we're going to get into today's show. And today's show, as Scotty said, is going to be about – today's show is going to be here on February the 10th, 2017, reserve currency and petrodollar reset is what the topic of today's show. The reserve currency and petrodollar reset is today's show. So very, very important, and we're going to get into that. Just before we do that, we'll get into the news, and then we're going to get into the main topic of today's show. But I definitely want to say that, you know, today you want to tune in to the latest news and current events that are happening around the world and you know, happening within us, and how these activities can impact you, the everyday common person. After the news, the main topic of today will be the news related to the reserve currency and the petrodollar and global reset. So just want to give you an idea before we get into the news, just what the reserve currency, what it means, the definition for it. And a reserve currency is an anchor, the reserve currency, or also known as an anchor currency. It is a currency that is held in significant quantities by governments and institutions as a part of their foreign exchange reserves. The reserve currency is commonly used in international transactions and is also often considered a hard currency or a safe haven currency. So whenever you hear this throughout the news, now you know when they say the reserve currency status, or they say the safe haven currency, or a hard currency, this is commonly referred to as the reserve currency. Now, continue definition with it. The U.S. dollar has been artificially maintained as the world's number one reserve currency. If that change, what it changes, the kind of impact that it have on those living within the borders of the United States and outside of the United States because of that overall reserve currency status, that hard currency status, or that safe haven status. All of the international bodies, sovereign countries, all have foreign reserve holdings in a large, significant portion of those holdings are in the U.S. dollar. And the reason being is because it maintains the world's number one reserve currency status, and they use that for their international trade. That's the currency that they trade in. They don't always trade in their currency. When they buy something from a sovereign country, when they go and buy something, they don't use their currency to buy it. They actually use their reserve currency that they have as the U.S. dollar as that overall exchange. Some of them may use some portions of euros and things of that nature, but the one that has the most significant transaction or is most commonly used is the U.S. dollar, and that's why it's known as the reserve currency. Now, next, the petrodollar. The petrodollar is defined as the U.S. dollar, and really is any dollar that's used for exchanging for oil on the global market. But right now it's defined as the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar earned from the sales of oil that may be simply defined as oil reserves denominated in U.S. dollar. The petrodollar accrues to oil exports nationally depending on the sale price of oil as well as the volume being sold abroad, which in turn is dependent on oil production. Now, there's also another definition, the petrodollar surplus. May also be defined as the net U.S. dollar earned from sales of oil that are in excess of internal development needs. Petrodollar surplus accrues in the process of converting subsidies of oil wealth into an internal income generating capital stock, referred to oil production, that exceeds such needs by its transfer into monetary unit. So that's what the petrodollar surplus is. It's basically, it's a definition of where countries are selling their oil by using the U.S. dollar, and then that because of that because of that medium of exchange, the U.S. dollar has a surplus or an excess, and then that makes the U.S. dollar even stronger. So that just gives you some definition about it. So we're going to go to what's in the news, and then we're going to get into today's show. So first
hey,
article.
Hey, real quick.
What's in the news?
Excuse me, Dave.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? Who's this? Oh, this is Jerry. Hey, what's up,
Dave?
Jerry? Go ahead. Jerry, go ahead. Oh, we lost Jerry. Jerry, call back. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and jump into what's in the news once Jerry comes in. We'll leave. Okay, first article that we have from what's in the news is this comes from RT International. Very, very important article. Germany repatriation of gold faster than planned as confidence in euro plunges. Germany is repatriating their gold much, much faster, ladies and gentlemen. There was actually going to be a seven-year time window, but Germany has now moved up and has repatriated its gold much faster than planned. And this has very, very significant overall importance to you, as even though it's Germany with the EU, but it's a setup for where everything is going. We are leaving the debt-based economy, and we're moving into an asset-based economy. So this comes from RT International. Berlin is bringing home its gold reserves stored in New York, London, and Paris faster than scheduled. Germany's central bank said, and that's the Bundesbank, said Thursday, the move is linked to surging euro skepticism as new governments in France and Italy may ditch the single currency. Very, very important. This has everything to do with today's show as well. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. So check out that one from what's in the news. Next article that we have posted there. Let me see if our caller is back. Is Jerry back? I think Jerry's back. Hey, Jerry, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that, Dave.
That's all right, brother. Go ahead.
before you get too far gone, you was talking about the reserve currency. Now, Trump has been speaking a lot about how much the dollar has gotten stronger. Now, my confusion or my question is, when you're the reserve currency, isn't your dollar or your currency weaker than everybody else's? That's why it spreads so far out.
Well, no, it's not weaker than everyone. It's just like for one of the things in a trade and a currency war, you have different forms of war. You have trade wars, you have currency wars, and you have hot shooting wars, the military. In a currency war, the one that wins is the one that has the weaker currency in a currency war. And right now there is a major currency wars that's going on. And the key to winning a currency war is you want to actually have your overall currency as low as you possibly have, where it's weaker instead of stronger. But since you're the reserve currency of the world, it's difficult for you to have a very weak currency. Reason being is because so many people hold it. So many, it's just like, best way to explain it is if you have created something that's very, very popular, the more that people buy that overall product that you're producing, the stronger your overall bottom lines or your EBIT or your overall profitability becomes. Because more people hold it, they have more confidence in it, and they want it, and they actually use it to facilitate their mediums of exchange. That means that their confidence in that overall currency is much more and stronger, so that overall currency becomes stronger. So in order for you to become the reserve currency, for you to have that title, that designation as a reserve currency, your currency in itself by default is much stronger. Is much stronger than anyone else. This is one of the things that I firmly believe, that one of the things that China does not want to become the reserve currency status of the world, because that brings on a lot of obligations, and it actually puts you in it gives you some position of advantage, but it also gives others leverage against you. So when you hear them talk about the dollar, you have to kind of look at it from different ways, I mean, from different views from what the contents of their overall conversation is. The dollar is difficult for the dollar to be strong when it's the reserve currency of the world. But as we've been talking and been talking about since we had this show, there are many countries that are dumping the U.S. dollar. Now, see, the thing about this is that the United States, even though they're dumping the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar is still the reserve currency of the world, but it's losing that status. And once it loses that status, that's where you have a complete free fall. And once it loses its petrodollar status, which we're going to be talking about here, that's when you go into free fall.
Dave, so, can I offer an assessment? And that's a brilliant analysis you just gave them. But let me describe it in military terms. That's the reason that I was deployed to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War, when they said that Saddam had invaded Kuwait. And what really that was a dispute over oil, because Kuwait was what they was calling, using the term, was slant drilling, where you're not drilling straight in the ground, right. You're drilling at an angle. And they were drilling into Iraqi territory and tapping into oil reserves that Iraqi claimed. But then Kuwait is a part of Iraq. If we want to get into the history, you know, Kuwait was created after World War II, where Ross would call the white supremacists divided up, made up this map and created new countries, which is still, we have seen problems today with regional conflicts and what have you. But the reason that they really went in there again was him threatening to stop using U.S. dollars as his reserve currency in exchange for oil. The petrodollar, would you agree, Dave, that the petrodollar is what makes the U.S. the reserve currency or the preferred reserve currency because of everybody's trading in dollars for the oil?
Yeah, that's in part, yes. And it's the reserve currency outside of oil.
Yeah, also so outside of oil. But I'm saying that it's really, though, because of the world's need for energy and they're using oil, that all, you know, that really gives it that much more, that artificial valuation. Because, again, we have to remember, as you always say, Dave, this is not real money. this is a reserve note. This is a piece of paper. It's not real money, and they've been enforcing it through war. That is why they attacked Libya again with the intro to Tando Radio Show, and this is why they will possibly go to war with China. And it's all about protecting
Iran,
the reserve, and also, you know, anybody allied with them, with that brings in the Russians and what have you. So you know, a lot of people die behind petrodollars. And I was just reading last night, I was doing some research about something it was kind of related, but I'm coming to the conclusion that American males, specifically those classified as white American males, since 1990, you know, there's been a systematic extermination of them. You know, some people may not use that term, but through the war machine, man, a lot of them have died, man. I mean, over 3 million since 1990 service members, and that's not even counting the ones that's been maimed and otherwise, you know, blown up and disfigured and whatnot. And so, but yeah, this is war. I think, Dave, in my opinion, is why we've been going to war since, I don't know about Vietnam, but I do know since the first Gulf War, it was all about petrodollars and keeping the U.S. the reserve currency of the world. Your thoughts?
Yep. And see, definitely, Scotty's right. And the thing with the petrodollar is that the commodity that's traded the most in the world is oil. And the second commodity that's traded most in the world is the precious metals. The only thing that's traded more than the precious metals is oil. And as Kissinger said, whoever controls oil controls the nations. And now the reserve currency, and that's what makes the United States the economic and the military power that it is. And on top of that, they have the reserve currency. And the reserve currency, if you want to buy any shoes in the world and export them to another country, or you want to say you're going to send some flour, say you're going to send some iron, some steel, anything that you trade within the global community and the global exchange, you would use the U.S. dollar to make that transaction. So not only is it in oil, but it's in all other goods. So this is where you have the dollar hegemony. So when you put the reserve currency and the petrodollar together, you have a Western, the U.S. dollar hegemony and control and subjugation of the world. This is why they can sanction people. This is why they can have embargoes. This is why they could have no-fly zones. This is why they can have going into invading countries with impunity. This is why they can do all of the things that they've been doing for the past 70 years and beyond. This is why they're able to do it. So, Jerry, did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there was a lot of extra added information, maybe for some more questions I might have had. But, yeah, I was just needing a little clarification on that. Thank you.
So whenever they talk about the strength of the U.S. dollar, it's difficult for the U.S. dollar to keep. This is why the U.S. The Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, I call him Mnuchin, whatever his name is going to, with the Trump administration, declare China a currency manipulator. And because the key to a currency war is that you want to race your currency to the bottom. Why is that? Because then that way more countries will do trade with you because they get more of a value. They can get things on sale because they don't have to give up as much as their currency to buy the goods from you. This is the trade war, the currency trade war. So this is very, very critical. So let's jump back into what's in the news, and then we'll get into today's show. Next article from CNN. From CNN. This one, thought it was kind of, I always say they tell you everything before they do it. So from Cerebrally Naive Network. Being prepared for a zombie, for zombies is now a real thing in Illinois. The legislators have declared October Zombie Preparedness Month. Why? Because the House Resolution 0030 says if citizens of Illinois are prepared for zombies, then they are prepared for any natural disaster. The resolution was approved Thursday. And yes, at the heart of it, it speaks to a bigger point. Americans, for the most part, aren't equipped with dealing with natural disasters. Why is this, ladies and gentlemen? This is always the system giving you clues to tell you, because later on they're going to say, see, we told you, you should have been prepared. So heads up, read between the lines. There is no, they are actually telling you what they're going to be preparing for and what you should be preparing for. Now, and then don't look at it so much from the standpoint of what Hollywood says a zombie apocalypse, but just imagine what can cause people to be in those types of duress and everything else is what we've been telling you to prepare for here on Tando Radio Show. Anything that is man-made or natural. And in today's world, there's so many natural things that give the appearance of being natural, but they're actually created by man. So next article, this one case comes from KTLA.com. Protests erupt in downtown L.A. following reports of immigration raids at homes in L.A., San Bernardino, and Ventura County. While immigrants advocates says more than 100 people were detained Thursday at Immigration and Custom Enforcement Office officials conducted home raids across three Southern California counties. The federal agency insists its operations were routine and not part of celebrity figurehead President Trump's unprecedented immigration crackdown. So check out this article. And listen, everyone, we're going to have a show on Monday. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to do the 96-hour margin call, but then also in the last hour of the show, we're going to start a series. And it's going to be titled The Untying States, The Untied States. Instead of the United States, the Untied States, because that's what's going to be happening, in my opinion, and we need to be prepared for that. And we're going to be talking about that as well as we will do the 96-hour margin call. We'll do the Untied States. First, and then we'll do the 96-hour margin call after that in the second hour. We won't do much in what's in the news unless there's something major that's there, because we need to. There's a lot of things that are happening, and you need to be prepared for them. Next article comes from Cerebrally Naive Network. You call it CNN.com. China and the U.S. aircraft in unsafe encounter. This is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. One official said the Chinese plane was a People Liberation Army Air Force KJ-200. The two planes were flew within 1,000 feet of each other in the general vicinity of the contested Scarborough Shoals in the South Sea of China, the South China Sea. A second official said that the American P-3C Orion, had to alter course in order to ensure that there wasn't an aerial collision. Now, let me tell you what's the importance of this. I know directly. The P-3 Orion C is used as a sub hunter. This is why China, and I would definitely say that this may be one of the things that spark the overall military confrontation between the South Sea of China and the United States. Now, let me pull this up really quickly. How much time we have? Oh, we have time. Okay, cool. Let me pull this one up real quickly. And what happened here is critical. Now, I probably won't have time. Okay, no problem. What I'm going to say is that the P3C Orion is actually, its job is a sub killer. It goes out and it looks for submarines to actually engage in an offensive or defensive manner, meaning they find subs and they kill them. And the overall weapons that they use are highly advanced weapons.
Dave, you have time, bro. Hey, you got time. We don't take a break to the top of the hour, but I'll take this opportunity to tell people you are tuned in to Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network.
Definitely. So the P3 Orion, and I'm trying to pull it up now, so if it pulls up, we'll go with it. But the P3 Orion's job is to sump huts. Excuse me, to hunt subs and to kill them. And if you know anything about the Chinese Navy, is that they've invested more in their subs than they have in aircraft carriers. So in my opinion, this, I could see this leading into a full-blown confrontation with the United States and China in the South Sea of China. Okay, and this is going to, in my opinion, this could be one of the triggers. Now, what I'm going to do, pull this up real quick. Let me read this to you all really quickly. And I tell you, man, what's in the news is so, so important. It is very, very important because it gives you the reasons why you should be getting ready for things. This isn't just us talking. This is really substantiating and validating what we're saying here. Okay, so it says that from the South Sea of China, Scarborough Shoals in the South Sea of China, spokesman for the U.S. Pacific Command, which oversees U.S. troops in the regions, confirmed that the incident calling it an unsafe in a statement provided to CNN. A second official said that the U.S. P-3 Orion had altered its course to ensure that it would not have an aerial collision. While the Navy considers the encounter to be unsafe, it does not assess that any malign intent was behind the incident. See, this is what they all have to say now because it's going to pick up. The official called the encounter between the U.S. and Chinese aircraft, like the one that took place Wednesday, extremely rare, noting that there was zero such incidents in 2015, two in 2016, and this was the first incident in 2017. China claims almost all of the South Sea of China, including the islands more than 800 miles from the Chinese mainland, dispute objections from neighbors in the Philippines, Malaysia, Brunei, Vietnam, and Japan. I'm going to add Japan also is into this. Beijing has also created artificial islands in the area, outfitting some of them with military features. The area around the Scarborough Shoals, which lies 130 miles west of the Philippine Islands, had been at the epicenter of, let me move this down. Once I get this reach, had been at the epicenter of the Chinese and China and Philippines dispute over territorial claims in the South Sea of China, which they are definitely resolving because, as Duarte of the celebrity figurehead president of Philippines says, China has all the money, so let's go with China. Forget the United States. And so this is definitely growing into something that is going to be a real, real problem, ladies and gentlemen. You need to continue to follow this. And I've always said since we've been on Tando Radio Show that it was going to be the South Sea of China that would ignite the overall war. So check out that article. Next article. I want to come back this one. I want to read this one before we get into this goes along with yesterday from the Rutherford Institute, the FBI, the silent terror of the Fourth Reich. Man, very, very important article. Next one is the diplomat, China, Iran, and One Belt, One Road. We're going to take that up for today's show. And then the second one, oilprice.com. Iranian oil will not be stopped by Trump. This comes from oilprice.com. Very, very important part of today's show as well. Next article. Here we go. From Reuters. Timeline. Trump questioned, then honors one China policy. U.S. President, celebrity figurehead Trump, agreed to honor the longstanding one China policy in a phone call with China's President Xi Jinping, a major diplomat boost for Beijing, which brooks no criticism for its claim to the neighboring Taiwan. The following are some of the major developments in the U.S. Relations with Trump since Trump won the U.S. election. And let me tell you, he made the phone call to China. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because the beggar always has to call the borrower. The lender waits on the borrower. The borrower does not wait on the lender. And this is critical because I definitely see that this is still going to be a very key position in the displacement that will move into war between China and the United States. Next article comes from Reuters as well. Hundreds of thousands rally in Iran against Trump, chanting death to America. And this is hundreds of thousands of Iranians rallied across Iran on Friday to swear allegiance to the clergy established following the U.S. celebrity figurehead Trump's warning that had put the Islamic Republic on notice in the state run. And this is the anniversary of the overall revolution in in Iran as well. So check out that article. Next article, very, very important. This comes from military.com. Air Force test launch Minuteman missile from California. The Air Force said an unarmed Minuteman III missile had been launched from California Central Coast in the latest test of intercontinental systems. The missile blast off at 11:39 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday from Vandenberg Base, Air Force Base in northwest of Los Angeles. So check out that article. This is everyone is testing their overall weapons, making sure that they work, and I said the war is going to happen. So check that out. Everyone is test firing their missiles. Next article from NOLA for New Orleans, Louisiana.com. Firefighters battle a blaze at the Phillips 66 pipeline in St. Charles Parish. Check out that article. Man, all these pipelines is being ruptured. So I don't think it's a coincidence. So that's what's in the news. But let me, before we go any further, one of the articles that I want to read to you, and it goes along with from yesterday's show, very, very important. And this one comes from the Rutherford Institute. Very, very critical because it's about the fascist state that I want to talk about before we move into the next hour of the show, when we're going to talk about the reserve currency and the petrodollar reset. And this comes from the Rutherford Institute. The FBI, the silent terror for the Fourth Reich. And this was written by John W. Whitehead. And this is a commentary. After 5 years of Hitler's dictatorship, the Nazi police had won the FBI's seal of approval, a historian, Robert Giletti, made that comment. Another one, Adolf Hitler is alive and well in the United States, and he is fast rising to power. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of Treasury under Reagan, said, and says on the dangers posed by the FBI to the civil liberties, to America's civil liberty. Lately, there has been a lot of rhetoric comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. The concern is that a Nazi-type regime may be rising in America. That process, however, had began a long time ago. In fact, following the Second World War, the United States government recruited Hitler's employees, adopting his protocols, embracing his mindset about law and order, and implementing his tactics in incremental steps have begun to lay the foundation for the rise of the Fourth Reich, which is so true, which we've been talking about since we started Tando Radio Show. And an article continues. It says, in fact, following the Second World War, the United States government a historian recounts that the Nazi police state was initially so admired for its efficiency and its order by the world's power of the day. Then J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, actually sent one of his right-hand men, Ed Caufrey, to Berlin in January of 1938 at the invitation of the German secret police, the Gestapo. The FBI was so impressed with the Nazi regime that, according to the New York Times, in the decades after World War II, the FBI, along with other government agencies such as NASA, aggressively recruited at least 1,000 Nazis, including some of Hitler's highest henchmen. All told, thousands of Nazis collaborators, including the head of the Nazis' concentration camp, among others, were given secret visas and brought to America by way of the Project Paperclip. And I would say this, that's because the Third Reich of Nazi Germany, the Manifest Destiny doctrine, begotted the Third Reich of Nazi Germany. So the article continues. Subsequently, they were hired as spies and informants, and then camouflaged to ensure that their true identities and ties to Hitler's Holocaust machine would remain unknown. All while thousands of Jewish refugees were refused entry via visas to the United States on the ground that it could threaten national security. See, once again, ladies and gentlemen, they always use these visas and the refugee status as their overall pretext for what? The fascist state. Continues. Adding further insult to injury, American taxpayers have been paying to keep these ex-Nazis on U.S. governmental payrolls ever since. In the true Gestapo fashion, anyone who dares to blow the whistle on the FBI's illicit Nazi ties has found himself spied upon, intimidated, harassed, and labeled a threat to national security. Excuse me, as this article continues, let me move this down. As if the government employment of Nazis after World War II wasn't bad enough, the U.S. government agencies, the FBI, CIA, and the military have fully embraced many of the Nazis' well-honed policies, tactics, and have used them repeatedly against the American citizen. Indeed, with every passing day, the U.S. government borrows yet another leaf from the Nazi German playbook, secret police. And let me tell you one thing real quick. The writer of this article was well-intentioned when he said another leaf from the Nazi German playbook, because that was one of their overall symbols. And if you look at the last Pope, Pope Benedict actually had the same, one of his symbols was the exact same leaf of the Nazis. By no coincidence at all, because as a child, he was in Hitler's youth. So this is no coincidence that he says another leaf from the Nazi Germany's playbook, secret police. It goes on, secret courts. They had secret police, secret courts, secret government agencies, surveillance, censorship, intimidation, harassment, torture, brutality, widespread corruption, entrapment, indoctrination, indefinite detention. These are the tactics used by the Constitutional Republic, which is not constitutional and is not a republic any longer. It never really was a constitutional republic. Many of us don't understand that. Many of us don't realize that the Constitution was not written for any citizen or any person that was born in the United States. It was actually a part of the contract for the overall institutions of the incorporation of the United States, not the citizen. And so we quote it, and we don't even realize that we are not actually, it was not actually penned for you. So we'll talk about that at another date. Whereas the rule of law and the rights of citizens reign supreme, rather, they are the hallmarks of authoritative regimes. Move this down. Where the only law that counts comes into the form of heavy-handed, unilateral dictatorial from a supreme ruler who uses a secret police to control the populace. The dangers is now posed by the FBI, whose laundry list of crimes against the American people includes surveillance, disinformation, blackmail, entrapment, intimidating tactics, harassment, indoctrination, government overreach, abuse, misconduct, trespass, enabling crippling activity. I'm going to add one, exactions, and damaging private property. It's just the base. And that's just the base on what we know. Whether the FBI is planting undercover agents in churches, which I believe they are, yes, that is one of the most most heavily used clandestine organizations. And we talked about that in our list of some of the clandestine agencies, and we gave the name to one. I forgot what it was, but we posted that before. Synagogues and mosques. Issuing fake emergency letters to gain access to American phone records and using intimidating tactics to silence Americans who are critical of the government's recruiting high school students to spy on and report fellow students who show signs of being future terrorists or presumably impressionable individuals to plot across acts of terror and then use them to entrap others. The overall impression of the nation's secret police force is that of a well-dressed thug, flexing his muscle and doing the boss's dirty work of ensuring compliance, keeping tags on potential dissidents, and punishing those who dare to challenge the status quo. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that they use is mainstream media, is definitely. Whenever you look at the Cerebrally Naive Network, look at all of the operatives that they have on there on the show. Why? Because that's their platform. And this is one of the mediums that they use. They control the propaganda. Now, the article continues. Consider the FBI far-reaching powers to surveil, detain, interrogate, investigate, prosecute, punish, police, and generally acts of laws under themselves. Much like their Nazi cousins, the Gestapos, and then trying to convince yourself that the United States is still a constitutional republic, which we already know that it is not. Just like the Gestapo, the FBI has vast resources, vast investigatorial powers, vast discrimination to determine who is an enemy of this. Vast discretion to determine who is an enemy of the state. Today, the FBI employs over 35,000 individuals and operatives, more than 56 offices in major cities across the United States, as well as 400 resident agencies in smaller towns, and more than 50 international offices. In addition to their data campus, which house more than 96 million sets of fingerprints across the United States and elsewhere, the FBI also built a vast repository of profiles of tens of thousands of Americans, legal residents who are not actually accused of any crime. What have they done is appear to be acting suspicious to a town sheriff, a traffic cop, or even a neighbor. The FBI database on Americans are not only being added to and used by local police agencies, but are being made available to employers for real-time background checks. See how deep this overall fascist state is? Okay, continues. All of this is may be possible by the agency nearly unlimited resources. Its minimum budget alone for the fiscal year of 2015 was $8.3 billion. The government's vast arsenal of technology and interconnectedness of the government's and intelligence agencies and informants share through fusion centers, data collecting intelligence agencies spread throughout the country that consistently monitor communications, according to including those of American citizens. Everything from internet activity and web searches to text messages, phone calls, and emails. Much like the Gestapo spying on the mail and telephone calls, the FBI has carte blanche access to citizens' most personal information. Working through the U.S. Postal Service, the FBI has access to every piece of mail that passes through the postal center's system. More than 160 billion pieces are scanned and recorded annually. More agencies, the national security letters, one of the most illicit powers authorized by the U.S. Patriot Act, allows the FBI to secretly demand that bank and phone companies and other businesses provide them with customers' information and disclose those demands to the and not disclose those demands to the customers. And an internal audit of the agency found that the FBI practices of issuing tens of thousands of NSL every year for sensitive information such as phone call and financial records, often in non-emergency cases, is widespread and a constitutional violation. So this article, ladies and gentlemen, is much longer, but we don't have time because we're getting ready to go into a commercial break. But see, this article really chronicles what's being going on, what's really going on. And the fourth Reich of Nazi Germany is already here. And I would say the extension of the fourth Reich of Nazi Germany, where its parent statehood is the manifest destiny doctrine of the United States. They've always been in bed with each other. They've always been collaborators. In fact, it was the U.S. that created that overall state known as the Third Reich of Nazi Germany. And let me tell you, it's not a political affiliation, ladies and gentlemen. It's an affiliation that is grounded in cult and cultic rituals. They are in a cult. David, and their practices are based off of those. Yes, go ahead, Scotty.
The United States, well, to your point, I have circulated memes that I created showing U.S. school children, and this is during the days where obviously you had segregation, and this is before the rise of Nazi Germany in the late 30s, but from the from about 1915 and what have you, you see school children giving what's now known as the Nazi salute to the American flag. And there was a collaboration. These people came here to study how the Americans were treating non-white people in the programs that they had. Again, the state of North Carolina didn't stop sterilizing people forcibly by the state until the 1980s when I was in high school. So you're right. It was established way before Hitler's rise. He's like what you call another Trump, a celebrity figurehead, or Obama, or Reagan, or the real powers that exist. You know, these are puppets on a string. But the Black Talk Media Project has been a victim of what you just got through talking about in terms of the financials and what have you, because the banks are required to notify you of an inquiry by any kind of, you know, investigation is going on of your accounts. And we got one of those notifications. Nothing came of it because we aren't engaged in any nefarious illegal, what they call illegal activities. But I know that we were scrutinized and subject to that because of the media that we produce. And you talked about the mainstream media. So I just wanted to add that for any skeptics out there, that I have personally witnessed this and been a victim of it, and so has Black Talk Media Project. And that's why it's always important, not just because of what can happen to us and people will use to target us, but that we always deal ethically. You should be doing that anyway, regardless, with each other, and not doing things that common sense would tell you is going to land you on a slave plantation somewhere. So I just wanted to add that.
Well said, Scotty. Well said. And yes, this is very true. This has been going on. This is the actual, this is the win that you see. This is the actual system itself. And what it does is it filters in different personalities to maintain its overall relevance and its overall objective and its methods. That's all it does. It filters these personalities in so that no one will be looking at the true cause of things. One of the things I want to read real quick before we get out of here in this article. Very, very important. Just as the Gestapo's secret files on political leaders were used to intimidate and the FBI files on anyone suspicious of anti-government sentiment has similarly been abused. As countless documents made clear, the FBI has no qualms about using extensive powers in order to blackmail politicians, spy on celebrities, and high-ranking government officials, and to intimidate and attempt to discredit dissidents of all stripes. For example, not only did the FBI follow Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and bug his phone in hotel rooms, but agents also sent him anonymous letters urging him, and I'm going to tell you this at the behest of Hoover, urging him to commit suicide. And the reason why they did that is because they knew that Dr. King had depression issues and had attempted and was being treated for depression many times before in his life, even to the point where he tried to commit suicide. So they knew what triggers to push. They knew exactly which one to push, and pressuring him to commit suicide and pressured a Massachusetts college to dropping King as a commencement speaker. This is how they work, and they're going to continue to do this until we as the people say no more. No more. This is who they are. See, they want you to see individuals so you'll look at things from your physical existence and your emotions. But if you watch your discernment, you'll see where the wind blows, for who the wind blows for. And that is the most important thing. So, okay, everyone, this is a much longer article, but this goes along with the fascist state. Check out that article. Very, very important. I didn't get to that yesterday. So what we're going to do is get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into today's show, the petrodollar and the reserve currency status reset. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I got dropped out of queue, so what I'm going to do, give me a second, I got to get back in the queue. Because I can't see if there's any callers that are there. I made a mistake. My mistake. I think I knocked myself out. So let me get back into it. And we're going to get into today's show. And that is the... Make sure we're still... you got me, Scotty? Okay, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you're good. I was just letting you know. No, nobody has any comments or questions for you.
Okay, cool. Okay, great. Thanks, brother. All right, so we're going to get into today's show. If you got any questions or comments you want to jump in, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and then hit ** and unmute yourself. And just if we're doing something else, you could just say, excuse me, or if I see you in queue, I will definitely go right to you and bring you up for your question or comment. So And you know what, everyone, excuse me with my fast talkers, because there's so much information in the, and our time it really gets in the way. So I really have to, for all, everything that we need to get to, it's really like a crash course with me. So just bear with me, and I truly, truly do appreciate you all. So we're got everything back up so I can see everything. And then, so if you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 866-510-9025. Okay, so today's the reset of the reserve currency in the petrodollar. Now, one of the things that we need to look at before we look at that is there's a reason why Germany wanted to repatriate their gold. They wanted to repatriate their gold a while back, and the U.S. told them that they wouldn't be able to get their gold for 7 years. And they were pissed, okay? But now they're getting their gold back. Let me tell you why they're getting their gold back, because they know where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. We're going into an asset-based economy where the overall reserve currencies are going to change. And the petrodollar itself is going to change. Okay? So how do you see this? Real quick, let's take a look at this article from RT. It says, and this one is about Germany gold repatriation is going much faster, okay? And this is everything to do with the reserve currency status. Germany repatriating gold faster than planned as confidence in euro plunges. And that's the euro, the currency of the EU. Berlin is bringing home its gold reserves stored in New York, London, and Paris faster than scheduled. German central bank said yesterday. The move is linked to surge euro skepticism as the new governments in France and Italy may ditch the single currency. Germany's Bundesbank has already moved 583 tons of gold out of New York and Paris and plan to have a half of it, of its gold gold back in Germany by the end of 2017. Now, I'm going to stop right there. This, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, is why I think you'll see a war before that overall. When gold moves, when gold stops moving, that's when wars start happening. Okay? And this is, I definitely could see something jumping off major this year just because of this movement of gold. All right? And it says, which is ahead of the. Okay, it says Germany will by the end of. Let me read this whole thing. A half of its gold back in Germany by the end of 2017, which is ahead of the 2020 plan. That's what the U.S. told them when they first wanted to repatriate their gold back in 2013. They told them it'd be 7 years. And then they said because of Hurricane Sandy and all this other stuff, the vaults were flooded, and they couldn't get people out. They gave them all the excuse. But what actually happened is this is when the U.S. then caused the overall destabilization in the Ukraine by way of that Nazi party that's over there, and it was backed by the United States because of their overall relationships with the Nazi. They had the overthrowing of the Ukraine, and one of the first things that they did was they stole and they took 33 tons of gold that they gave right away to Germany. And this is all recorded. You can find this yourself. They took the gold from the Ukraine and sent it to Germany. It was mighty funny that 33 tons was taken from the Ukraine, and then all of a sudden, the Germany got a payment of 33 tons. The exact same thing with Gaddafi. When Chavez wanted his gold back, the first thing that they did was France and the United States invaded Libya and took their gold. And that was the gold that they paid to Venezuela. Then Venezuela had to sell all of that gold because of the economic crisis that they're in right now. You see how this goes? Where the gold goes, there's a reason that there's a murderous agenda behind it, because it's real money. Okay, so now, the article says, the rest will be split between the Federal Reserve of New York and the Bank of England. We have a lot of discussions about Trump regarding implementing on monetary policy, the macroeconomy, etc. Macroeconomy is the economies that have the macro means that it has many tentacles, and the micro is like you. You have a micro economy that's facilitated around you. Okay, micro and macro. But we trust that the Central Bank of the United States, Bloomberg's member Carl Lugwing, told a news conference, man, Carl, you slipping, but Germany knows this already. Germany is just trying to get as much of this gold back as it possibly can because it's going to be critical in the future. Trump has not triggered a discussion about the storage facilities in New York, he said. A French presidential candidate, Penn, and Italy's five-star movement are openly calling to pull out of the euro. Some economists in Germany says the repatriation goal may be needed to back a new Deutschmark should the eurozone collapse. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I've been saying since we started Tando, that they are going to repatriate their gold because they got to back their currency by it because the debt is about to collapse. This was the most critical thing about this article. And it says, during the Cold War, 98% of Germans' bullion was stored abroad. So far, the biggest repatriation was in 2000 when the Bundesbank repatriated 930 tons from the Bank of England. They are trying to pull their gold back as soon as possible. This is why I don't think it's going to happen. They're going to get all of their gold because at some point and at some time, the U.S. is going to put itself on the gold standard. And it's going to be other people's gold that they're going to back their currency with. And this is going to have people running to arms. This is huge. Now, one of the things also that is going to destabilize the overall reserve currency, the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency and as the petrodollar, is another trade organization or a trade philosophy that's coming out of China that you should know about. And it's called the One Belt, One Road. Okay? China's One Belt and One Road. And this is very, very important that you know about this. Okay, and is also known as the New Silk Road. China is establishing trade agreements, not using the U.S. dollar as a medium of exchange with other countries. They are giving other countries, other countries are getting more for their currency, for their goods and assets in exchange. But here's the critical part of it all. But first, I want to give you a definition of what the One Belt, One Road is. Okay? Very, very important. If my computer will cooperate, hopefully it will. But I'm not surprised if it doesn't because of what we're talking about, as usual. But here we go. Hopefully it will. Okay, so the One Belt, One Belt, One Road is a trade agreement and a trade agreements that are being actually put together by China. And the definition basically of it is this, is the Silk Road Economic Belt and the 21st Century Maritime Silk Road, also known as the Belt and the Road, abbreviation B&R. You'll hear it as B&R. You may hear me say the B&R. Or the One Belt, One Road. The abbreviation is OBOR or OBOR. Okay, you'll hear me say that. Or the Belt and Road Initiative is a development of strategical and framework proposed by China's premier leader, Jinping, that focuses on the connectivity and cooperation among countries, primarily the People's Republic of China and the rest of Eurasia, which consists of two main component, the land-based Silk Road Economic Belt, or SREB, the SHERB, an ocean-going maritime Silk Road, the MARS. The strategic underlying China push to take a bigger role in global affairs. It is needed for priority capacity, cooperation, in areas such as steel manufacturing. It was unveiled in September and October of 2013 and announcement revealing the SREB and the MARS, respectively. It was also promoted by Premier Ling Quan during the visit in Asia and Europe. Now, some of the countries that are in the New Silk Road, they are Eastern Africa. It is also Russia. It is Iran. It is, let me see some of the other countries. There's 60 countries that actually encompass the infrastructure work. And so, and it's overall covers over $4 to $8 U.S. trillion dollars that are in all in this whole thing. While Xi Jinping visited China, Central Asia, South Asia in September and October of 2013, he raised the initiative to jointly build the New Silk Road Economic Belt, 21st century. The belt includes countries situated on the original Silk Roads that through Central Asia. These are the original Silk Roads, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's repeating itself. Western Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. The initiative calls for the integration of the regions on a cohesive economic area through building infrastructure such as railroad subways and bullet trains and everything else. Increasing cultural exchange, broadening trade apart from these zones, which are largely a part of the historical Silk Road area. Another area said to be included in the extension of the belt is South Asia and Southeast Asia. Many of the countries are a part of this belt are members of the China-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Now, I want to stop there. The reason why it's part of the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank is because of the infrastructure they're going to be laying out throughout the countries, but also because of the rebuilding, in my opinion, after the war. North Belt countries, North Central and South Belt are proposed. North Belt countries through Central Asia, Russia to Europe. Central Belt goes through Asia, Western Asia to the Persian Gulf and the Mediterranean. South Belt starts from China to Southeast Asia, South Asia and the Indian Ocean. Central Belt is spoken down to complex region problems and separate movements along the belt, which I think they'll definitely work those things out. So now, this is very, very important because of the BRIC nations, because of the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. And because of the New Silk Road and because of the One Belt, One Road economic trade agreement, this is going to replace the World Bank, the United States SWIFT system, the overall dollar hegemony in the world. Why is that? Because the agreements that the countries are going to be making is that they will be making these agreements absent of the U.S. dollar, and they will be engaging in trade that is going to build their overall individual infrastructure. And lo and behold, look at some of the countries that will be in it. Italy is going to be in it. And this last week, Xi Jinping invited May of England to it. The United States will not be a part of One Belt, One Road. It will not be a part of the New Silk Road. And all of the major countries that are involved in this are economic giants. They are taking everything from the World Bank and the world banking structure, and they're redefining the lines where countries are now going to be a part of what China has established. And in doing that, they're going to be leaving the overall agreements, and they're going to be sending back their U.S. currencies. They won't use the U.S. dollar anymore. They won't need to do it to get the goods and the infrastructure development that they will need, because they have all of the cooperating bodies and organizations a part of it all. This is huge. And this is going to totally destroy your standard of living here. Because this is going to be about, just like this is going to cause for the reserve currency to be changed. I believe that the reserve currency is going to be multifaceted. There's going to be so much economic displacement in the world that the world is going to be required a new standard for their currency. They're going to want their currency not to have debt confidence. Or what I mean by debt confidence, they're not going to have debt, because debt is going to go into default. So they're not going to accept just a piece of paper with some writing on it. It's going to have the assurances, and it's going to have to be backed by something that has intrinsic value. This is why Germany is trying to pull as much of its gold strategically as it can get, because it realizes at some point and at some time the United States is going to stop sending the gold over. Because it's going to be one of the instruments that have the intrinsic value that the world is going to require that all form of agreements through currency be backed by. They're going to reopen the global gold window. And also the rest of the precious metals, as well as other assets that a country has. This is why Iran is going to be an extremely wealthy country in the coming future. This is why Russia and China will be extremely wealthy countries in the future. This is why the overall ASEAN nations, the Asians, the Association of Southeastern Asian Nations, are going to be extremely wealthy in the new economy. This is why Pakistan will be extremely wealthy in the new economy. India will be even South Africa, Brazil, all of these countries, Venezuela, Mexico will be extremely wealthy in the new economy. But there will be one country that will not be extremely wealthy in the new paradigm, in the new economic paradigm that's being set forth. It's going to falter and fall like the Weimar Republic. And that is called the Constitutional Republic of the United States. Why? Because its legacy of, its historical legacy of tyranny is going to be called and outmaneuvered, called on the carpet and outmaneuvered and deleveraged and divest, and the rest of the world will divest themselves of the United States. Meaning they're not going to invest in the United States, and it's going to lose its overall economic standing. And this is going to cause a fight. Because they're not going to go down quietly, but they still were going to go down. And the reason is going to go down because the rest of the world is going to want to align themselves with a more collaborative and a where their overall assets from their countries will benefit their overall nations. This is going to be the facade that they use in the trick of the switch. They're going to make people believe that, but then at a certain time they're going to switch away from the gold window and everything else, and they're going to go back to debt also. But the years that it's going to take to do that is probably around 200 or 130, 150 years. But for this switch, in order for the system to maintain control over people, it's time that debt goes into default, and all those that are in debt will drown under that default. So now, this is going to cause for countries to no longer have to use the they're going to not use the U.S. dollar in trade. So they're going to send all of that back. Another article, very, very telling and very, very important. This comes from Minsky's.com. China's One Belt, One Road will reshape global trade. One of the biggest stories in Asia's business is China's One Belt, One Road initiative, an economic and diplomatic program that could transfer trade. This is how you get to war, ladies and gentlemen. It goes first, currency wars, trade war. Once trade between countries stopped, that's when the bombs start exploding. The future of trade in Asia could depend heavily on what becomes of China's expanded One Belt, One Road initiative, which calls for a massive investment in development of trade routes in the region. In this episode of this podcast, recorded in May, senior partners, and it just goes who they are, the One Belt, One Road, what it really means and what it needs to become a reality and why people should take it seriously. Doesn't matter. It's already, this was done earlier, this was done in July of 2016. We talked about this when this came out. It's already done. Now, I want you to remember during the inaugural speech of the celebrity figurehead Donald Trump, he said that all trade deals will have to benefit the United States. Well, see, the One Belt, One Road says this: all trade deals will mutually benefit both parties and all parties in conjoining inside of that trade. Who do you think the world is going to do business with? Who do you think that they're going to do trade with? And like I said, first currency wars, then trade wars, and once trade between countries stop, then bombs start flying. Now you see why. Because there's an alternative now. And that alternative, ladies and gentlemen, is the new Silk Road, based off of the old trade roads of the past and trade routes of the past. Why is this so important? Because they continue to rehash what happens in history because it works so well. The thing about it is that we don't look at it to see where the future is going. So, want to pull up this other article speaking about, and this one comes from thediplomat.com. Very, very important. And you will see how this plays into your overall livelihood today. This is why all of these jobs are coming back, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to be much cheaper to have labor here than anywhere else in the world. The rest of the world is going to go through an economic boom. One of the things that the system needs in order to maintain any economic standing is that it needs some, in its caste system, it needs an underclass that will burden that will bear the burden for the rest of the upper class, so-called the upper class, which is a facade itself, to be able to have the way and means of life that they will have. The handwriting is on the wall. The U.S. and everyone economically tied to the U.S. is doomed. The bad thing about it is the rest of the world knows it, but the people here have no darn clue and are not prepared for it at all. Are not prepared for it at all. And this is going to consume you, because all of these nations, if you look at them, are asset-heavy nations. This is why Iran doesn't care what the United States putting them on any kind of notice, because all of their notices is just paper. It has no intrinsical backing at all. By way of their military, by way of their dollar hegemony, and by way of their geopolitical influence, have none anymore. From the diplomat: China, Iran, One Belt, One Road. Will Iran become drawn into China's One Belt, One Road orbit in Pakistan? Last week, the Chinese ambassador to Pakistan, Sun, in an interview welcomed the prospects of enhancing cooperation with Iran on the China's Pakistan Economic Corridor, which is the CPEC. If you notice, all of these individual trade deals and trade agreements are multifaceted, where they share with the responsibility and they share in the overall trade agreements with other countries. Here it goes. The flagship project is an integral component of the China's One Belt, One Road initiative, which seeks to promote greater regional connectivity within Asia, including the land-based Silk Road Economic Belt and the Maritime Silk Road. The inclusion of the strategical and geographical significant countries such as Iran hints at an important aspect of Chinese economic policy. One other thing about China is that they are patient, and ancient. While America has games of aggression, they play games that control time and space. So it goes on. Of China's economic power, which is limited to outsourcing industrial capacity through CPEC, which is the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, only. It fits into the rationalization of gaining greater access into the oil-rich Middle East, where six of the states in the region are integral members of OPEC and have historically been allied with the United States due to their political, economic, and strategical interests. That strategical interest, ladies and gentlemen, is military. Economic is the dollar. Politically is the overall hegemony of the dollar and the geopolitical relevance of the U.S., which is no longer. For China, the need to offset U.S. economic interests in the Gulf requires states to become a part of One Belt, One Road related initiative, with Iran acting as an important stakeholder given its geographical proximity to the region and its fractured relationship with the United States. China's longstanding principle of respecting territorial sovereignty and foregoing relationships with states based upon mutual cooperation and peaceful coexistence also acts as an added incentive for Iran. Iran struck a nuclear deal with the so-called P5+1 in 2015, which involved the waiving of sanctions in return for curbing nuclear enrichment activities. However, future outcomes of that deal would largely depend on the next U.S. president. Let me stop there really quickly, ladies and gentlemen, and lay this whole thing out. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come out of the break, I'm going to show you why this is so important to you, because so much was just said here, and why the petrodollar, the U.S. petrodollar, is going to die. The overall U.S. hegemony of the U.S. dollar having reserve currency status is going to die, and what you need to do about that. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. We got like five more minutes of this, and then we'll take your calls and your questions or comments. Give us a call, 866-515-5. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay. Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. This is the last 30 minutes of the show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we're getting ready to open up the phone lines. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. Very, very important show, so we're going to jump right back into it. And here we go. And the last thing that we read from this one, the diplomat, is that Iran struck a nuclear deal with the so-called P5+1 in 2015, which involved the wavering of sanctions in return for curbing nuclear enrichment activities. However, future outcomes of the deal would largely depend on the next U.S. president. Who became the new next U.S. president, ladies and gentlemen? The celebrity figurehead Donald Trump did. Now, here's what's the clue with this whole thing. Why is China and Pakistan seeking to get Iran to join the One Belt, One Road and the New Silk Road? One is because it was a part of the old, and two, because they're the largest producer of oil in the world. Remember what Kissinger said? Whoever controls oil controls the nations. The U.S. no longer controls oil. It no longer controls the nations. I ask you, while the United States is putting Iran on notice, by threats of notice, who do you think Iran is going to go with? Let's take a look at it historically. Today, they're celebrating the overall revolution that took place in Freedom Square in Iran. And their biggest enemy that they profess is who? The United States. While China's coming in and saying, hey, let's have a cooperative deal that you gain from, we gain from, and everyone gains from, as we respect your sovereignty, while the United States has been sanctioning them, and this was the reason the United States had to pull the sanctions off of them. Why? Because they no longer had the leverage that they had before in the world. So what did they try to do? They try to make good because they try to hide their weakness with a smile. This is why they also went over to South Korea and Japan, the celebrity figurehead Deputy Secretary of Defense, and said, we're not going to make Japan and South Korea pay for the overall security in the region. This is why Abe and celebrity figurehead Trump is meeting now. Because Japan is going to go the same way. They're going to take that deal that China offered them, even though they're arch enemies, to become some of the founding countries of the Asian Investment Infrastructure Bank. So where do you think Iran is going to go? When China has already said that they will support Iran militarily, any attack on Iran, China will come to their aid. They said this last year. Now, why should you care? So what, Dave? Got nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with you and your family and our overall community. Especially for those of you that already know that there's some major moves and there are a lot of things that are majorly wrong. And every time that these organizations get together, the people lose. This is why it matters to you. It matters to you because the rest of the world no longer sees the United States as economically, geopolitically, socially, culturally, are militarily relevant. They're turning their back and they're not inviting you. Nor do they care what your overall stance is, but they do. I'll take that back. They do care. They care about how rogue this country has become and the threat to overall global security that the United States poses. The United States has now become the nation of enemy number one, the global community enemy number one, and they will all bind together. Why will they bind together? Because they've already established cohesive collective prudence by way of trade, ladies and gentlemen. They're not going to trade with the United States anymore. And once trade starts, once trade stops, wars start. Because you become irrelevant and your country will go into complete anarchy. Because you will not have any goods. So now the rest of the world is lining itself through ASEAN, through BRICS, through AIIB, through oil and natural gas. This is why Syria is critical, and this is why the Ukraine is critical. It has everything to do with the resources and who will have control over those resources to establish the trade deals that benefit them. And what is happening is that the U.S. is interfering because it doesn't want to lose its position, ladies and gentlemen, and they've been using the tactics of the Gestapo to do it, because that's who they've always been. And they're going to turn that back on you, because they're going to make you become the buyer of last resort. When no one else is trading with the United States, no one else is upholding the United States debt, no one else is buying its good or using its currency, the United States will turn to the only resource that it will have, and that will be the human resource within its borders, and that will be you, ladies and gentlemen. And this is where they're going to work you to death and pay you nothing at all. This is going to cause for the displacement economically, where you will have plenty of U.S. dollars in your hand like you never had before, but it won't buy you a Snickers bar. Because the rest of the world don't want Snickers. They want a fair exchange for their labor. And they're going to say that they need to do that because their citizens are at an uproar. And they need to appease their citizens. And this is where their citizens is going to say, that's right. And then this is where they're going to come back and say, well, ladies and gentlemen of our nation, the United States has threatened us. What are we going to do? They're going to say, we'll go to war. We'll side with China. We'll side with Russia. We'll collectively go to war against them together. This is why Mexico is going to make a deal with China. After dumps. Phone call. This is where this is going to cause the global displacement and divestment of U.S. Assets. They are going to be seized. The rest of the world is going to sanction the United States. And in that sanction, there's going to also be the seizure. And this is why it dramatically affects you and your family. This is why you need to prepare for this now, before this perpetuates itself even further. And how do you prepare? You do the table of preparedness based off your family. You have food, water, shelter, and protection and energy. That's the only thing. Forget vacations, kill them. Splurging on this, kill it. Because what you do now is going to determine how much you suffer in this 96-hour margin call. And I don't want you to be in that position, because you don't have to be in that position. The rest of the world is moving away from the dollar, so you need to do that as well. You need to be moving your cash into real intrinsical goods. From food to other assets that have intrinsical value, meaning just because they are something, they can do something that's valuable. That's what intrinsic means. Because it exists, it can do certain things. You have intrinsic value. It's your talents and your ability and your free will. The most sought-after commodity on this planet. So I would say, do not haste. the whole world is leaving you behind. And you will not be able to go up against that momentum. That type of leverage, ladies and gentlemen, will crush you. And I don't care what you think about what you've been told in the movies about the United States. The party is over. And the rest of the world has pulled the switch. So, just wanted to say that to you all. If there are, if you have any questions or comments, would love to hear from you. Let me get on that page. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. If there are any questions or comments, I can't see the board. My whole stuff froze up. So, okay, wait. Let me see here. Give me a second, everyone. So if you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. And I think that is very important for you, because your individual needs and concerns and your individual conditions are different than anyone else. Yes, you need food and water and all those other things, but there may be other things that your family may have to deal with that another family doesn't. So your question should be about your family.
I have a question, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
In one area of preparedness, what can people do? Because it seems to me the number one of the top five on the checklist should be food. Can you talk about the table of preparedness in terms of food? Because, like you know, we know how food is transported in this country and how that can be disrupted or there become a scarcity.
Just in time.
Like you said, the things that happen in Venezuela could happen. We could see that here. So how do one prepare for that just in the area of food?
Great, great question, Scott. This is what you do. You have to take a calorie count for each person in your family. And that calorie count is around I think it's but I have it. I'm a bring it to you all. So you want to look at calories. You got to have food, okay? And that's going to be one of the things that we're going to talk about in the table of preparedness, the calorie accounts, because everyone's calorie account is different. If you're going to be, if you're going to be doing work where you're going to be expending a lot of energy, you're going to need more calories. So it's really dependent upon the individual. So it's around 1,300 calories per day that you need. But if you're going to be doing, heavy labor or exhorting a lot of, using a lot of energy, you're going to need more. Okay. So first thing that you always look at is you look at your overall food. That's what you should be focusing on first and foremost. Now, I would say this. Regardless of if you only have $5, that $5 should be moving towards your overall preparing. If you only have $1, should be towards that preparing. That and no matter what your economic standing is, whatever you have to become a prodigious saver and acquire the goods and necessities for the future. The thing about investing is that you're looking into the future. You need to invest in yourself and your family. It's not only just for a profit gain, but it's for a sustainability. And so, you start with food. And we're going to bring you that in the table of preparedness. On Tuesday, we're going to do water. But in food, you got to look at your family, how many people are in your family, what your daily activities are, where you live, and because as Scotty said, because of the how food is disseminated throughout this country, is on a just-in-time delivery system. Scotty, let me know if someone comes up because I can't get into the system right now. Just-in-time delivery system. So you start with food. You start at where you are. Whatever you have left over after your overall obligations. And then I would also say, pay yourself first before everything else. You have your obligations, then you have to pay yourself. You have to save for yourself. That's more important than anything else. Because if you don't take care of you and your family, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, even with before the overall 96-hour margin call and the overall economic collapse, the system doesn't want to take care of you no more. They had that so that everyone would be dependent upon and be addicted to it, so when they crash it, it would affect the most people and have the most adverse effect on the most people and cause the most chaos, confusion, and conflict, because that's how they rule. So that's where you first start. And it is essential that you start now. It is essential that you start now, tomorrow, and on here on out. You continue to acquire and accumulate. And this is the reason why, because you will be so happy and you, well, excuse me, let me rephrase that. You will be in a better position. You will have more options when the lights go out. Because if we continue to do, especially within our community, if we continue to follow the program of destruction, we will continue to be annihilated. The only reason why we lose is because we play by their rules. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to have to stop. And that is something that is going to have to be important to you. That is going to have to be significant to you. Because I'm going to tell you, once it does happen, that window of opportunity has closed. And when it does, with how many people are going to be caught behind that window, it will be virtually almost impossible to get ahead. This is why Illinois is preparing for October, the zombie apocalypse month, because there's going to be a lot of people walking around aimlessly when everything goes awry. It is real. It has happened before, and it will continue to happen again. One of the most important things about preparing is this. When you start to prepare, it changes your overall mindset. You start to see different things for what they truly are. You'll start to see something as consumerism or something that you should have and you need. That's essential, that has intrinsical value. Now, do not look at what somebody else has in their preparedness if you can't acquire that at that moment. Understand why they have it, what's the necessity for it, and take a mental note. But do not fret over the things you don't have. You have to focus on what you can do. And what you can do will strengthen your overall resolve to be able to have a can-do spirit over everything. Even if you don't even have any disposable income, you still prepare as to this is what I need, because this is what happens is that those things will come to you at the appropriate time because you have already put out energy for them to come to you. They will. And they will. So there's no reason for you not to prepare. In today's world, it's actually foolish and naive not to be ready. Because you've had too many examples of when the lights went out, and the only thing that people could do when the lights were out was cry and beg for help. Don't put yourself, your family, and our community in that position. That's up to you. And these are the reasons why. These substantiate and validate it all. So, everyone, just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Yes, there is going to be a petrodollar and a reserve currency reset. Ladies and gentlemen, that is called the One Belt, One Road trade agreement, and as well as the new Silk Road Alliance that is going on throughout the world. but the United States will not be a part of it from a standpoint of leverage in getting trade. What will happen here, the United States will be a part of the One Belt in the New Silk Road. It will provide the manual labor and energy for the trade agreements of others. So, much love, much respect, everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, make sure to, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. My mistake, Brother Bragg, my mistake. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
The organizer has ended this Uber conference. Goodbye.